huddle up.
66 Hitchx Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A Selection Sunday edition of Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo with you. Joined alongside me is Cade Chumsen at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. March the 16th. It is officially March. Conference Championship Week is coming to a close with a couple games today. Six automatic qualifiers to go on the college basketball side of things. You get the tournament starting. I guess the official round is 64 on Thursday with a couple first fours between then. NFL free agency has officially gotten going. The floodgates opened about a week ago, and there's a lot of new faces in a lot of new backgrounds. We'll be breaking that down next hour with us on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started today. Hard Rock's the bet if you're somebody like me. It's the best because I just put together my MLB futures, so you can put together your win totals and check out your awards, the whole thing. You could look at that all on the Hard Rock Bet app, or you could go game by game. You could go spring training. You could go the college basketball route. You could go NBA. You could live bet. You could put together a parlay, put as little as $1 in there, increase your odds. That's all different types of avenues. The spectrum of what Hard Rock Bet covers is vast. And it's perfect because it acclimates to both type of players, the experienced player and the brand new player like myself a couple months ago when I first got started. It's easy to get acclimated. It's easy to get started. Check out the Discover page. See what other type of parlays other users put together. And you can tag along in just a few short taps. That's how easy it is on Hard Rock Bet. If you try it now, you get up to $100 back in bonus bets. If your first bet does not hit, that first bet can be a parlay, can be a prop, can be the over, whatever you like to bet. Any game you choose, win that first one and get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present. In Florida, the wager terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUTE. So we had a packed day yesterday on the college side of things. We only got an hour today, so we're going to be jumping around, Cade. I like this. We got a lot to touch on. We got a little free agency stuff. We got some Selection Sunday stuff. There's some NBA stuff. There's a lot of ground to cover here. So it's going to be a very interesting next hour we got together. But what happened yesterday, I have a couple main takeaways. We're going to go place by place here. Number one, let's start a little local here. University of Florida basketball. They played Alabama in the semifinals yesterday, and they played Alabama about a week and a half ago, and it was 99, 96, 98, 95, whatever it was, and it was back and forth the whole way. And they played yesterday again in Nashville in the SEC semifinal, and back and forth the whole way to in that first half. 42, 40. It was like 16 to 16, 4-5 minutes into the game. It was incredible. It's just an ultimate display of offense. Florida ended up never taking off their foot off the gas, and Alabama sort of wavered a little bit in that second half. Florida ended up killing them by 20-something points, some 20-some-odd points. Now they play Tennessee today in the SEC championship, and here's why that game's interesting. There's one seed still sort of up for grabs. Duke has one. Houston has one. Auburn has one. Nobody really knows who that fourth one is going to. St. John's is making a bid for it. But I think the winner of Tennessee, who beat Auburn yesterday, and Florida today at 1 p.m., I think that will be for the last one seed. For me, it's hard for me to get into some of these games because they're not necessarily playing for anything, right? You're not playing to get into the tournament. You're in. You could lose and you'll be all right. But I think that makes it interesting because you're playing for the coveted one seed. And that adds a little bit of intrigue to each side. But my takeaway from Florida is I think they'll beat Tennessee today, number one. Number two, I wasn't sold on them all year. Starting to get last couple weeks I have been. That team can win it all.
So fill me in, Colin. And I am a casual college basketball watcher, right? I'll keep up with the standings. I'll keep up with the rankings. But I'm not that guy who's watching it on Thursday, Wednesday night, every single night. But I'm also looking at schedules here, and Auburn's lost three of their last four to pretty good teams.
Yep.
So why do you think they're just like an automatic one seed right now?
They had the hardest strength of schedule by a wide margin.
Okay.
And they killed everybody. They beat Houston before the year started. They beat Iowa State before the year started. They beat Purdue before the year started. They beat Alabama on their home court. They lost in a game winner to Alabama last Saturday, and it was a great game, back and forth the whole way. Rivalry game.
Okay.
But they lost in a game winner. Then they had a sort of a drop game against Texas A&M last Tuesday in Texas A&M's building, who's good, who's a top 15 team.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they had a win and they against Ole Miss, which was a good game back and forth in the first round of the SEC tournament, or the quarterfinal, I should say. And then that Tennessee-Auburn game was back and forth the whole way.
Okay.
Tennessee was up in that game 62-49 with about 6 minutes to go. Auburn goes on a 10-0 run by themselves in about a minute and a half. But to Tennessee's credit, they sort of responded and kept them at bay. It's a very close game either side. Now, you mentioned the three of the last four. No champion in the history of college basketball has ever lost three of their last four games going into the tournament and went on to win it all. Auburn has. They've lost three of their last four. If you asked me a week and a half ago, I would have told you that Auburn would have killed the field. That would have been my UConn of last year.
Yeah.
That would have been not going to be challenged until you get to the third weekend. That was my Auburn. I'm not there anymore.
Mm.
So I'm down on Auburn. But when you put together the resume that they have, they beat and that SEC is going to get 14, 13 bids, which is going to be the most all time. The most ever is 11. Most all time, they're going to get 13 or 14. It's one of the best conferences in the history of college basketball. They went 15-3 in conference. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's winning road games. It's winning home games. They beat everybody. They lost to Florida, who's a top five team.
Yeah.
They lost to Alabama, who's going to be who's a top eight team. Lost to Texas A&M, too. But I'm down on Auburn. I'm in on Florida.
Mm.
Florida is a scoring machine. You think Alabama can score? Alabama's, that's been their namesake the last couple of years. They could score. They can't defend. Florida can score, but they can defend, too. Very good team. And they're playing for a one seed today against Tennessee. Tennessee got that win over Auburn. They could leapfrog, because how is Tennessee going to beat Florida in the SEC championship game, and you're going to give Florida that fourth one seed? How are you going
to
do that?
You would maybe give it to St. John's?
Maybe. The one thing about St. John's, we'll get to them in a second, is the conference isn't as good.
Yeah.
They're going to want to throw a bone to the SEC because it's a gauntlet. If you look at Auburn, Auburn played Tennessee, Alabama, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss. A&M is a top 15 team. Alabama's a top 10 team. And Tennessee's a top 10, top 5, 6 team. That's a lot of competition in a short amount of time. Same with Alabama. Alabama played Florida, Tennessee, and Auburn to finish off their regular season in a row. That's brutal. That's brutal. So on the college basketball front of things, for those of you who are tuning in today, trying to get a sense of what to watch, what to look for today, that Tennessee-Auburn game is probably, in my opinion, for a one seed. That is a big one to watch. Now, on top of that, you think about bid stealers, right? Who's on the bubble? Some big teams that everybody knows is on the bubble is North Carolina. North Carolina is on the bubble. They're probably on the outside looking in. And then Xavier, Texas, all on the outside looking in. Boise State, who had a chance to control a bid steal yesterday against Colorado State. They got killed. Colorado State stole a bid. So that's North Carolina and the Texases of the world get hurt. But what's going on today? You got George Mason, VCU. I love this stuff. I love this stuff.
Colin is grinning from ear to ear right now.
Atlantic 10 championship. That's probably just for one bid. No bid stealing there. You have UAB at Memphis, or against Memphis in the American Athletic Conference Championship. Memphis is going to get in regardless. Top 25 team, had a great resume. They've lost five games all year. If UAB wins, bid steal. One other at-large team gets hurt there because now you got to put UAB in with the automatic qualifier. So, UNC would get hurt. Arkansas might get hurt. Texas would get hurt. Xavier would get hurt. Boise State would get hurt. That's if UAB, which is at 3 p.m. on ESPN, if UAB beats Memphis today. Wisconsin-Michigan play in the Big Ten Championship. I went to Wisconsin. I root for Wisconsin. A lot of fun. There's nothing on the line in that game. There's nothing on the line. Michigan's going to be a 4 or 3 seed. If Michigan beats Wisconsin, they might teeter up to a 3, but they're probably going to hang around a 4. Wisconsin's probably hanging around a 3. That's probably not going to change. Tennessee, Florida, as we alluded to before, probably playing for a 1 seed. Loser will be a 2 seed. And then you get Cornell, Yale. I love the Ivy League. the Brainiacs, 12 o'clock, ESPN2 in the Ivy League Championship. So that's just for one bit as well. So if you are a casual college basketball fan and you want to see chaos, root for UAB today.
They won it last year.
3 o'clock on ESPN in the AAC. Root for UAB. Because Colorado State stole one, and UAB has a chance to steal one. VCU is on the outside looking in, likely. So that's why we'll see what happens with them. But Boise State is in Joe Lenardi, who's the big bracketologist on ESPN. Boise State is his first four out. North Carolina is his first four out. Texas and Ohio State. While his last four in are Indiana, Xavier, San Diego State, and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's probably going to stay right where they are because they play in the SEC. San Diego State probably staying right where they are. They have a decent resume. Xavier, Indiana, Boise State, and North Carolina are probably those four teams where two get in. That's if UAB loses. If UAB wins, only one get in. That's why I love it. That's why I love it. So if you're watching today, big takeaway, Florida can win it all. Florida can win it all. St. John's, we haven't talked about them. Rick Pitino, couple things. St. John's, if you want to watch something interesting, when St. John's gets to the tournament, they're going to punk every team they see. They played Marquette 2 days ago. Marquette is the namesake, the tough team, gritty, blue collar.
Yeah.
That's them. They punked Marquette, punked them.
Mm.
It's the grittiest team in college basketball. They can't make free throws. They can't shoot threes, but they kill everybody because they play excellent defense, 1 through 5, and they got the best coach in the sport. Rick Pitino, for a second, can we talk about somebody who doesn't necessarily get his flowers in terms of how great of a coach he is all time? He's not in the Krzyzewski level. He's not in the the John Wooden level. But this is somebody who has succeeded at Boston College, at Boston University, excuse me. He got to a Final Four at Providence. He won a championship with Kentucky. He won a championship with Louisville. Whether you want to say it's vacated or not, I don't want to hear it. He took Iona to the tournament, and now he's taking St. John's to the tournament in their Final Four. Good. Krzyzewski won in one spot for his whole career. Roy Williams, one spot, whole career. Those guys are immortals. Dan Hurley is going to be at UConn for the rest of his career, likely. Those are the immortals. Rick Pitino wins everywhere. That, to me, is almost more impressive than, dare I say, being a Duke for 30 years and getting your success that way. I don't think he's a better coach than Krzyzewski, but the fact that he is the underlying variable in all those program successes, it's hard to overlook. It's hard to overlook. I love St. John's.
Is there a reason he didn't stay somewhere, though? Because you look at Krzyzewski, he built a dynasty from the ground up.
The Louisville had the scandal,
okay,
the recruiting scandal. So that was why he kind of went away from college hoops for a little bit. He went and coached in Greece for a little bit, and he kind of just worked his way back. Recruiting violations, strippers, it was Rick Pitino, whatever. So that's why that didn't work out. And then he tried the NBA a number of times. Went to the Celtics, went to the Knicks. Mm. Never worked out in the NBA. He's a college coach. And that was the in-betweener with Kentucky and Louisville and the whole thing. But once he was found a new spot, he succeeded there. Providence took him to the Final Four in his second season. St. John's, they were on the outside. They were the last four out last year. They got screwed out of the tournament over teams that they probably should have gotten in, and they didn't. Fast forward one more year, they have four losses. He's the ultimate second guy jump. His first year at Kentucky, Rick Pitino went 14-14. His second year, 22-6.
Mm.
His first year at Providence, 17-14. His second year, 25-9. I mean, come on. His first year at Louisville, 19-13. His second year, 25-7. This goes without saying just how good of a coach he really is. He didn't get started at Iona until about mid-year. It was a weird entry. 12-6 his first year. Second year, 25-8. His first year at St. John's, 20-13. His second year, 30-4. He's the best coach in the sport, and I'm a UConn fan. He's better than Hurley. He's better than all these guys. If Jay Wright was still coaching, that'd be the only guy to stand up to him. But Rick Pitino and what St. John's is doing, buy stock now. If you want to find your tough team, they don't lose games big. They play defense that travels, and they're clicking at the right time. They're playing their best basketball right now. I think if there's teams that I'm going to want to root for, think about what's your philosophy when you choose a champion in your bracket, Cade?
Oh, man. Whatever team that I think is the favorite, I don't pick them.
Okay.
There's something weird that happens for me that I want to choose every year. Someone that has tournament success historically, even though they didn't have the best regular season this year, I like.
You like teams that are always good in the tournament?
Yes.
Okay. Creighton's, Gonzaga's.
Yep.
Teams like that regardless of where they are, they're going to be a pain.
Yep.
Okay. And you haven't put much thought into who you're going to have be your champion?
This year, no.
Okay. And how about this? St. John's, 4 losses. Total? 7 points. Lost 4 games by a total of 7 points.
Woo!
That team is closer to being the best team in the country than they are to a 4 seed. I'm in on St. John's. That team is making a run for me.
Mm.
I like teams. So you mentioned your philosophy. My philosophy is I got to root for him. I got to like the coach.
Mm.
And you got to be playing the best basketball now. Auburn's not. I'm kind of down on them.
Yeah.
But if you're playing your best basketball now, I'm high on you. Florida can win it all. St. John's can win it all. We got to get into Duke. We'll get into Duke on the other side. What's going on with them? With no Cooper Flagg, who's probably the best, definitely the best freshman, top 3 player in college basketball.
Yeah.
But you got 6 more automatic qualifying games today. 5 more, excuse me. And the Ivy League, 1 bid. The Atlantic 10, VCU, George Mason, which is at 1 p.m. That's a 1 bid. Tennessee, Florida, both getting in. But that's for a 1 seed. UAB playing Memphis at 3 o'clock on ESPN. That is for a bid steal. UAB wins, they knock one of those teams that are on the bubble out. Wisconsin, Michigan just playing for a 3 or a 4 seed. So Boise State, Xavier, UNC, Texas, those teams are going to be rooting like hell for Memphis. And I guarantee you all those players are going to be watching it too. That's what they hear. That's awesome. It's 2 hours before Selection Sunday, and they're going to be rooting for UAB. We got to get Cade's thoughts on a couple things. What happened last week in free agency? We'll go and jump around a little bit. Bunch of teams, college basketball, NFL, NBA, a lot of storylines to touch on. We'll blitz the book a little later on in the program. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Red right, 24 double Puma on 1, replay.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Been a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine over at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes, one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation today. That's 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo and Cade Chumsen, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3, live from the City Boy Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Selection Sunday, a little later today, we'll see what the field and the bracket looks like on the NCAA tournament. And also, we had some free agency stuff, the floodgates, if you will, open last week on the NFL side of things, and a lot of new faces in a lot of new places. Cade and I hypothesized a bit last week on where we thought everybody would go. We finally have our answers. I'm going to get Cade's thoughts on a couple of them.
Top five.
Let's get a little bit of a bounce around here, Cade, yeah?
That was the wrong intro to start things off. I think I got it now, though. Here we go.
Here's the right intro. Cade, all right, let's jump around a little bit. Let's start on the NFL side of things. Number one, I think the prized move, Sam Darnold and what the Seattle Seahawks have done. They brought in Cooper Kupp. They let go of DK Metcalf. They got rid of him. They got something back for that in terms of draft compensation. They traded Geno Smith. All in on Sam Darnold. Got Cooper Kupp in the fold there. in or out on what Seattle has done here, Kate?
100% in, and I think they might be the favorite out of the NFC West right now.
Wow, so you're going to go that far that this is going to succeed that quickly.
San Francisco 49ers are having to worry about contract issues, and they're getting rid of too many guys right now. The Los Angeles Rams, Devontae Adams, I think, is a great player. I also think he's too much of a drama queen to actually focus on his game right now. And I'm going to say that Cooper Kupp is more of just like, he's just going to be the workaholic that Seattle wants him to be.
He's going to be motivated too, because that Rams letting him go was a blindside.
Yes. Seattle right now is understanding their sense of urgency on, we've got a team to win now. We've got a division that's not necessarily run by the Rams and 49ers right now. They have a chance to do something great. They did amazing offseason moves. They were able to come back. They let DK Metcalf go. They bring in Cooper Kupp. They let Geno Smith go. They bring in Sam Darnold. They've got guys on contracts for the next few years. They've still got a young stud of players. DeMarcus Lawrence from the Dallas Cowboys is also now in on the defense.
If he's healthy, good get.
So this team is ready to win now, and I think they got a really good chance to. This team was on the bubble all last year and never seemed to have to figure out how to actually get a win.
They were good, not great. They were sort of in that purgatory. Yep. You're not going to win playoff games, but you're going to be in the mix. I agree with this. I think they got Darnold for a complete bargain comparatively to what the price point was, which is why I'm surprised that Minnesota didn't at least try to throw him that contract. $55 million guaranteed, $100 million over 3 years. You could get out of that after a year and a half.
I think they were just so set on J.J. McCarthy.
Maybe.
I think
maybe.
They're like, you know what? We've got our guy. Let's have Sam did great things for us.
Maybe it's also operating in good faith with Sam. Sam, go start for a couple years. We can't promise you that if we're going to give you 3 years here.
And I think that was their mindset from the very beginning, considering the day that the franchise tags were up. I saw Sam Darnold at TGL.
Right.
There was no...
They're operating in good faith. They're like, we're not gonna handcuff this guy. We're not going to keep him in there just until we think JJ's ready. He's not a placeholder quarterback. He's played well enough to earn himself a starting position somewhere for a number of years, and they did with Seattle. So I agree. I think it was an amicable split.
Yes, sir.
Now, if Sam Darnold can make this work in Seattle, is he a one-hit wonder in Minnesota? As yet to be seen. He's got a defensive-minded head coach. It's going to be very dependent on organizing with that offense. But that's Sam Darnold there. How about this? The Raiders going to acquire Geno Smith here. You knew they wanted to go get a veteran, I should say, and Geno wanted probably a little bit of a bigger contract than what Seattle was willing to give him. Ended up trading him, getting a third round pick in return for that. Raiders kind of found their guy, Pete Carroll, and him linking up once again. Do you like what the Raiders have done here, kid?
This is a move to be competitive, but not Super Bowl champions competitive.
But maybe that tells you that there's a bit of a plan here. Let's figure out everything else, and then we'll figure out the quarterback.
I've always said that there is something to be said for becoming a destination before you become great. They need to become a destination for free agents besides just the Geno Smiths of the world or some other, like, and I'm not going to knock on anybody, like, but I'm talking mid-level type of free agents. We're not talking about the greatest of the greats
right
now.
Get out of the laughing stock.
Exactly.
Out of the dumpster and then go from there.
The Denver Broncos became competitive and started grabbing a lot of good free agents in this offseason. The Raiders need to go in that standpoint as well. Go make a playoff run. Go get a winning record. And then we can build on something for the next few years.
Similarly to what the Chargers did, the Chargers was a laughing stock of a team. They bring in somebody who is a rock sturdy type of coach in Harbaugh. They win games. They already have their quarterback, so it's a little different of a position. But they won games. They kind of got the dark cloud away from them that, all right, this team can't do anything right. So they're building upward. Their trajectory is going upward. I think the Raiders are trying to do the same
thing. I'll also say one more thing. The Raiders need to have their backup quarterback or their next plan on the last year of Geno's contract. You cannot go into Geno's last year, that third and final year, and you don't have the plan ready. Whether it's a rookie, whether it's a trade ready to happen when he's gone, there needs to be a plan in place for when he's done. You can't go into quarterback purgatory.
Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year.
Something like that.
They'll figure it out. They got Brady involved there. I have no doubt in my mind. Carroll is a good floor head coach. He's won everywhere he's went. Off of that. All right, let's shift out of that. The Jets going to get Justin Fields in or out?
In.
You're in on this.
Yeah, I'm in on this. They need something new. They need something fresh. They haven't had a quarterback like this in a long time. It's a new head coach. It's a player who has been done dirty in two different places right now. I thought he was worthy enough in Pittsburgh to at least keep going. Like I've said before, Arthur Smith, I think, is a bad offensive coordinator right now. He wasn't able to do much. I couldn't tell you who the coordinator is for the Jets right now, but I'm just thinking about the new situation for Justin Fields. I think it's a good spot for him. Now, have they built a team around him yet? That remains to be seen, but I like the staffing and I like the quarterback. Owner just needs to get out of the way.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm surprised you're so high on this. And Tanner Engstrand is their new offensive coordinator, who is the Detroit Lions passing game coordinator.
So I'm not saying that this is the marquee thing of the world, but like this was a lot better than other options that they could have had, right? This is better than Kirk Cousins. This is better than Russell Wilson. This is better than keeping Aaron Rodgers. This is better than a lot of the other veteran quarterbacks.
I'm surprised you're so high on this. I think this is going to be a disaster.
Okay.
I think this is going to be an utter disaster. I think by week six, New York is going to have chewed him up and spit him out.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to succeed early on. And he's not a good thrower. That's we know this. He's a great athlete. He's a good player in terms of what he could do with the ball in his hands. But what the Jets need is somebody who could throw the ball. I don't think they need a dual threat quarterback right now because, I mean, it might work if they put together this offense creatively. They have good running backs. But they have so many issues. It's not like he's going to floor elevate that team. Justin Fields needs a decent situation around him in order to succeed. Are we looking at the Jets like it's a decent situation?
Has he ever had a good situation around him?
No. And has he had success anywhere? I mean, the Pittsburgh was a good situation. Offensively, maybe not. But yeah, yes.
All I'm saying is that we have yet to see him on a team that is planning
fully
to
in
build
on him. Fully yeah. in on him. Oh, are we positive that they're fully in on him?
No, but I'm going to at least give him a chance.
2 years, yeah, two-year contract. So you're in on Fields. I'm surprised. I think this is going to be a disaster. I don't think he's going to survive New York. I think the first time he's going to throw an interception will be something to behold. If he starts getting a little erratic in the passing game, they're not going to be having that. The New York fan, that is. I mean, a good athlete, yes. Dual threat quarterback. If they try to operate, you know, do the wing T, do Navy's offense, maybe that could work. But, I mean, other than that, I'm not in on this signing. It's a little, it tells you that they don't have a lot of options. You mentioned the options. You're right. They don't have a lot of options. This is cheaper. They could get out of it if and when they need to. I'd be shocked if he's the only quarterback in that room that is capable of starting by the time we start the next year, whether it's a rookie or whatever it may be. But they need to start figuring that out. I don't think Justin Fields is their long-term solution. Maybe I'm wrong. Prove me wrong, Justin. Prove me wrong. All right. Another one. Texans. They blew up that offensive line. You're a Texan fan.
Yeah.
They blew up the offensive line.
Yes, as they should have.
They got Christian Kirk in there.
Yep.
So where are you thinking? What's your perspective now on how the Texans have handled this?
I'm just waiting for the new offensive lineman.
Yeah,
there's
right.
A few guys.
You blew it up. You didn't replace him with anybody, but you blew it up.
We got the starting right guard, I believe, of the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
We got someone from the San Francisco 49ers, and we're shifting around our own offensive lineman, and we need to draft. Need to draft offensive linemen. Need to draft good offensive linemen because we have not drafted well in the offensive line department. But yes, this was 100% the thing that was supposed to happen. Blow up it all. The first week after the season was over for the Texans, we fired our offensive lineman head coach.
I agree with that.
Absolutely necessity right there. Christian Kirk, decent pickup, depth at the wide receiver room. For some reason, our injury bug is with our wide receivers, whether it's Stephon Diggs or Tank Dell. Hopefully we can keep Diggs. Dell is already there. Christian Kirk as
they
more
have long-term
depth.
Injuries. You don't know when Dell is going to be ready to go. So
that's fine for me. But
Kirk's a good player.
I think the defense, and we got, help me out, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yes, you got made the trade for Gardner-Johnson.
From the Eagles, so I thought that was fantastic as well. So a lot of really good pickups. Just see how the offensive line does with the whole new faces this time. But I'm loving everything we've been doing.
So you're in on that. I agree with the idea that you blow it up. It wasn't working. Why keep any of them around? You're not going to retool it.
Just don't wait around for it either.
It doesn't take that long. Offensive line is a plug-and-play position. You got to just go get the right pieces and stick them in there. Colts went to go get Daniel Jones to be a backup, maybe a bit of a fire underneath Anthony Richardson. Is this the right perception of how the Colts should handle this offseason to you?
I'm still confused on what they're doing. I'm still, like, are you in on Anthony Richardson or are you out? Make up your
mind.
They
could be in on him, but is this not them trying to invigorate a fire? Hey, There's somebody right here that knows how to start a football game and win a football game right behind you. If you're going to be unprofessional or if you're not going to be consistent on the field or whatever it may be, maybe you're trying to lock him in. Flacco's different. Flacco, they're not looking to... They had to bench him for Flacco. But they can play Daniel Jones and win games. It's Daniel Jones. He's not a great player, but he's experienced. And with a decent team around him, I think he is a safer option. Of that, hey, you better figure it out. You better start putting this all together, all this talent that we think you have. Or if not, Daniel Jones is right here. And we could get you out and then figure out what our quarterback is this time next year. I think it's a final straw. It's an ultimatum.
I would have done the ultimatum without bringing in Daniel Jones.
How do you do an ultimatum without having a backup, though?
You can have a backup. Do you think Daniel Jones is a backup?
Yes. Right now, yes.
So right now you have the Colts starting with Anthony Richardson.
There's a reason that Daniel Jones signed there. Is he's thinking that I could start games here. I'm not going to start games here. It's not going to be a quarterback battle, but I can. There's an option for me. And they did that. I think it was a one-year contract anyway.
Yes, it is.
This, like it was 14, a one-year, $16 million or something like that?
14, yeah.
They're saying, all right, well, if this Anthony Richardson, if he can't stay healthy, if his professionalism is still spotty, if he doesn't put together all this talent, we give him 3 years. You get Daniel Jones in there just in case. Whether he goes down and we need to get him out, Daniel Jones can get you through games, keep you above water in some sense, and then we can figure out our quarterback position next year. So that is the ultimatum. They told Anthony Richardson.
So why would you want to stay middle of the road if you're looking for a new quarterback situation next year?
They're not looking to tank because they have a decent They have a decent team around them. They have a decent team.
So if Anthony Richardson...
Charvarius Ward they got in the mix, they have a good enough team around it.
So if Anthony Richardson is not the guy halfway through the season and you go for Daniel Jones, what do you do next year? Get rid of Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, and you probably draft somebody. Yeah.
I would have drafted somebody this year.
Yeah, but think about the crop, too. There's not a lot of quarterbacks in this year's draft. There's going to be a ton next year. That's my takeaway. It's about, hey, we're going to give this one more go. The Colts are not like, you know, 1 foot out the door, 1 foot in. They're not doing that. But there's an exit strategy. They see the exit sign, just in case.
I just would have gone with maybe someone who's more of like a Marcus Mariota or someone who's more of like that certified Jameis Winston. Someone who's like that certified
Gardner Minshew.
Backup.
Bring him back.
Dude, he did well too.
The thing about Minshew that I don't like is wherever Minshew goes, he's going to play. That's why I don't like the fact that the Chiefs went to get him. He is going to play. He's like Mr. Inevitable. He will get onto the field. So Mahomes is going to sprain an ankle, and you're not going to get him for 3-4 weeks, and Minshew's going to go in there. He plays everywhere he goes. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think if you're the Colts, you bring in someone who is a decent backup, but not someone who could truly challenge Anthony Richardson. Give it to him for the entire... Hey, listen. You got this year, or you're gone, and then you completely restart next year. I know that kills you in free agency if that's the case.
Right.
But... this whole, almost like Pittsburgh Steelers, like who are we going to start each week, is too much for me. I want one or the other.
Right. I think if you're thinking about this, this signing tells Anthony Richardson, I got one more year to figure it out. And if I don't see at least some steps forward, some quantifiable steps forward, then they're going to blow up that position, not the team, blow up that position and start fresh next year. That's what the Colts are going to do. I would see both of them gone. I think Daniel Jones would be out of there. I think Anthony Richardson would be out of there, and they draft somebody else. This is their final year of this. Colts should be a well-run organization, but they're not. Ursay, Chris Ballard, they've had a lot of consistency in their Steichen, I think, is a good coach. They're hanging around this 8-9 win range consistently. They haven't broken through. Why is that? They probably haven't had the answers at quarterback ever since Luck retired. Haven't had the answers. I think they're giving this one more go. And if it doesn't work, they got two options that could get them through the end of the season, get them to that 8-9 win range, and then they'll try to figure it out next year. That's my takeaway with what's going on with the Colts. I don't know. I think it's a mess, but at least I could see the coordination in the mess. I could see the calculation. Last one here, Cade. The Seattle Seahawks went and go got DK Metcalf.
Pittsburgh Steelers, but yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers, yes. What did I say?
Seattle.
Pittsburgh Steelers went and got DK Metcalf. Sounds like they're in the lead for Rodgers. Sounds like they're in the driver's seat. Waiting game, nobody knows. I'm going to assume they're going to go get Rodgers. They got DK in there. They let Najee Harris walk. Do you like what the Steelers are doing? They had two quarterbacks on the roster last year and likely letting them both walk. What's your takeaway?
Roster-wise, yes, but I'll say it again. Arthur Smith doesn't know how to run the ball. And if you can't do that, this whole thing cannot be on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. We saw that last year. Breece Hall had an underperforming type of year, but he also didn't get a lot of touches. Aaron Rodgers, with only DK Metcalf and George Pickens, who are two drama queens of their own.
Oh, two head cases.
Plus Aaron Rodgers in that room. If something goes wrong, the whole room will instantly fall apart. Roster-wise, yes, but if this doesn't succeed early with a well-balanced offense, to me, it's not going to go well for a long-term type of solution for just 1 year.
To fight back, Tomlin's very good at kind of bringing the reins in.
True.
He had Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger, and Martavis Bryant in a room too. Keep that in mind. And they were able to figure out. And then the second they all left, their careers blew up. So there's that. But you're right. If you're trying to maximize the possibility of what this roster can be, what this team can be, the Steelers have an opportunity to win playoff games with the talent they have defensively, with the coach they have in place. They just haven't been able to fix, sort of similarly to the Colts, they haven't been able to figure out that one position. Rodgers, at the very least, gives you a pretty high ceiling. If he's good, if he's healthy, if he's protected, the whole thing. And then you get two deep shot threats, one contested guy, one other DK's who had an absurd athlete.
They pair really well together.
They do. That gives him an opportunity to draft somebody interesting in the slot. And if Rodgers doesn't bring all the baggage, if Pickens can leave the baggage at home, if DK can leave the baggage at home, if Tomlin can sort of center it in and more importantly protect the quarterback, I think they got better than what they were. By a pretty good margin.
I agree.
So that's if they get Rodgers, if Rodgers is healthy, and if they improve that offensive line.
It's a lot of ifs, but they're rolling in the right direction.
They had two rookies starting the offensive line last year. You got to think it will be a little better. I'm in on what direction they're heading. I'm still not sold on Tomlin. I still, to this day, think that Tomlin should move somewhere else and give them a little bit of a fresh face. But you're not going to see that. We move on here. That's Kate Chums and Colin Russo with you. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet over on ESPN 106.3. That was our jump around presented by Hexus MD. Your partner in weight management methods. Hexus MD, visit HEXISMD.com for your partner in weight management methods. We got to do a little Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet a little bit next. Close out the program. We got a lot of college basketball today. A couple NBA things to touch on. Kate and I are going to put together some picks presented by Hard Rock Bet. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. 16th of March, 2025, a selection Sunday edition of the program. Colin Russo, Kate Chumson with you over on ESPN 106.3. I love this time of the year because you get five games today with automatic qualifiers in the college and the NCAA tournament on the line. You get a couple bid-stealing opportunities. UAB playing Memphis. If UAB wins, they effectively steal a bid from one of the remaining bubble teams, North Carolina, Xavier, Texas, Oklahoma, Boise State included. Lots to talk about, a lot to do. Let's make some picks against the spread and also take some futures because this time next week we'll be basically through the round of 32. It's time for us to Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download it today on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started today. Hard Rock, we're looking at it right now. They got Final Four odds. They got tournament winner odds. They got the games. You can check out the over point total, the winner straight up. They got it all covered on Hard Rock Bet. If you try now, you get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That first bet can be a parlay, can be a prop, can be the total. Whatever you like to bet, any game you choose, win that first bet. They get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Cade, we got five games today to choose from. We have the Ivy League final. We have the Atlantic 10 final. We have the American Athletic Conference final. We have the Big Ten, and we have the SEC finals. We also have the tournament winner odds in front of us and the Final Four odds in front of us. Cade, we're going to do all five games today. We're going to do one tournament winner and two Final Fours, okay?
Sounds good.
Let's start with the games today. Cade, the Battle of the Brains, the Ivy League today. Cornell is playing Yale. Yale beat Princeton yesterday. Cornell dominated Dartmouth. Yale is -5 in this one. Cade, what say you?
I'll take the favorites, Yale -5.
Cornell was playing played really well yesterday. Yale's the better team. I'm rooting for a close game. Give me Cornell +5. All right, next one. Tennessee and Florida, the SEC championship game. Both teams well in, top 8 teams in the field. But I think if one seed's on the line here. I think if Tennessee wins, they get that one seed, that final one seed. And Florida wins, they get that final one seed. Cade, Tennessee is +5 in this one. What do you say?
If Florida's offense can do like what they did yesterday, nothing's going to be able to stop them. I'll take Florida as the favorite -5.
I am in on that as well. Florida played the late game yesterday, so they might be a little gassed. But I like Florida -5 as well. Too much offense if they're clicking. George Mason, VCU in the A-10 final. VCU is favored by 8 points in this one. This might be a win and you're in game. So George Mason's got to have something to play for. VCU is probably on the edge of a bubble team. I'd say on the outside looking in if they lose. VCU is -8 in this one, Cade.
A little bit of a higher point spread. I'll go with George Mason +8.
I'm going to join you on that. George Mason +8. Again, why would we be rooting for VCU to win by 10 points? Why would we, who is that fun for? Not for anybody watching the game. UAB playing Memphis today, +3.5. UAB is bid stealing opportunity. Memphis is already in the tournament. They already have probably a top 4 or 5 seed, regardless of if they win this game. Cade?
UAB shocked the world last year by winning the AAC, but Memphis, I think, is just too good. I'll take Memphis, the Tigers, -3.5.
I love chaos. UAB +3.5. Lock it in. Lock it in. Bid stealers, see ya, North Carolina. Wouldn't want to be ya. Big Ten championship today. Wisconsin, Michigan today. Wisconsin beat Michigan State yesterday in a great game. And also in a great game, Michigan had a game winner. Basically, his clock expired against Maryland, winning by 2 in that one, going coast to coast for a layup. Michigan's getting 3.5 points in this one. What do you say, you kid?
I'm going to go Michigan. Wisconsin drilled everything they had to against Michigan State at the end of that game. I don't think they stay as hot against Michigan's defense. I will take the Wolverines +3.5.
I will join you on that. I'll take Michigan 3.5 on this one, too. I went to Wisconsin. I root for Wisconsin. What does Wisconsin stink at? They can't guard bigs all year long. Teams with good bigs dominate them. They expose them. That is the weak point of that team. Wisconsin does not have the interior defense to keep up with bigs. Michigan's got 2 of them. They got 2 7-footers in the starting lineup, one of which is basically a stretch 5 who can handle the ball and is their point guard, Danny Wolf. So off of that, not a good matchup for Wisconsin. Michigan killed them the first time they played back, I believe, in December. +3.5 this one. Michigan's got a little bit more to gain than Wisconsin. They could probably jump up a seed line. I think Wisconsin stays sturdy at a 3 because they beat Michigan State. All right, those are our 5 games today. Cade, I'm going to start with the Final Fours. Give me 2 Final Four picks that you like and the odds on Hard Rock Bet.
These are hard because I like looking at matchups before making these type of predictions.
You want to see what region they're in, so we're just doing this for the value.
So let's go with Florida at -120.
You're taking a favorite here. Interesting.
I'll take a favorite. I'll also go with Houston at +140.
Wow, okay.
I'll go Houston and Florida as my 2 Final Four locks.
All right. I'm going a different philosophy here. My champion, I might go a favorite or someone that's close to a favorite. For a Final Four, there's always going to be a team that makes a run. And last year is NC State. You had, FAU and San Diego State the year before that. I know a couple years back, it was all the Blue Bloods. It was the Villanovas. It was the Kansas, Duke, and UNC. So it might happen. You can't overlook it. But this is going to be a really competitive tournament, a really good tournament. St. John's is +400. I alluded to them earlier in the show. Patino is the best coach in the sport. He's elite. That team will travel. That team gives them 100% effort. They will punk a team that is soft. If it's a 3-point shooting team and it's, you know, one of the Colgates of the world that you think are going to come in and shoot 100 threes and get away with it, not against St. John's. They do Houston better than Houston. They have a better offense than Houston. They're bigger than Houston. Very gritty, blue-collar team. And the best coach in the sport. St. John's +400. I think that's great odds to go to the Final Four. My second one. This team hasn't played great as of late. They've lost to BYU twice in March alone. But but I'm sold on their upside. They've been hurt. They lost a little early. They lost in the quarterfinal of the Big 12 tournament. It's Iowa State. They're plus 550 to get to the Final Four. Iowa State, I think, at their best, when Auburn was playing great through November and December, the team that gave them the biggest game, other than Duke in their building, was Iowa State. Iowa State at their best can keep up with the best in the country.
I told you earlier, Colin, that I love people, or I love teams that do well in the tournament consistently and historically. I have always been a favorite Iowa State come
March
time.
Iowa State, another one too. They could get to the second weekend. They know what they're doing. They have a good coach, experienced, and they lost to BYU 3 days ago. They didn't have their two starting point guards. They had their two most important players on the team. We're not playing on like lingering muscle injuries. Give them a week and a half off. They're going to be fine. Plus 550, I think if that team gets hot at the right time, they could totally make a run. Those are my two. Cade, your tournament winner. All these are plus odds, so what do you got here?
I think someone takes down Houston in the Final Four. I think they will be away from Florida, so this tournament championship for me will be Florida versus some other 4-5 seed, I think, that's going to be able to make a run. I'm going to take Florida as my champions. Give me the Gators at plus 525 on Hard Rock Bet.
Prisoner of the moment, I'm with you. Florida plus 525. Good odds. Florida's so good. They are so good. They're experienced. They have three elite perimeter players with Martin, Will Richard, and Walter Clayton Jr. Alex Condon's a good player. They play defense. They run up and down the court. They're almost like, they remind me of AAU teams you played with when you were younger that just blew you out of the gym at 9 in the morning. And some godforsaken random gym. And when I played, it was like, whether it was in New York City or whatever, you'd go in, it'd be windmilling and warm-ups, and then they'd press you the entire game and score 100 points before you even blink. That's Florida. That team could win it all. Plus 525, good odds there. If I had to do another one that I think I like the odds, see, if you asked me a week ago, it would have been Auburn. I'm down on Auburn right now. They're reeling. I think at their best, they're great. I think at their best, they're the best team in the country, but they're not at their best right now. I don't know how I feel about that. They don't have a lot to play for. Maybe they're coasting. No team in the history of college basketball has lost three of their last four games going into the tournament and went on to be a champion. Auburn has now joined that company. I can't do it. It's not the right move. I can't do it. St. John's is plus 2,000. If you're looking for a value bet, I would sprinkle something on that.
If Tennessee wins today against Florida, they're currently 1,600, plus 1,600 as well. Tennessee making some moves, yeah, potentially as a one seed.
Tennessee's a tough team. They can't score. They can score, but they can't score with the elites.
Yeah.
They're the best defensive team in the country. That will travel. They will absolutely make a run because they're going to, like St. John's, suffocate every team they play. Them, Houston, and St. John's will, I think, are lock them in for the second weekend. Just, they could suffocate a team from the get-go. Play 40 minutes against them.
How long does Duke go? Because I agree with you. I don't think Duke has a chance in this tournament right now, even with Cooper Flagg.
I'm not sold on. I think Duke will make a run. I think they'll definitely be in that second weekend. I'm not going to put my Final Four, partially because I hate Duke. But also, Cooper Flagg looks like he's going to play. I doubt he plays in that round of 64. They're not going to need him. But imagine this. You know who might be that 8 seed in their side of the bracket? UConn.
Wow.
I think the bracket makers might do that. Because they'll put Duke in UConn in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where they will be for that region. It's not far from UConn. They can make the travel. And imagine that story. Cooper Flagg, his final two schools, UConn, Duke. Comes back for that game after a scare ankle injury to play UConn in the second round. Their pedigree. I know UConn's not what they were, but it's still Dan Hurley. It's still a team that has won two straight tournaments consecutively, all by 12-plus points. That's a risky game for Duke. That's Kid Chums and Colin Russo with you. We both take Florida as our champions, but this time next week, we'll have a sense of what's going on in the tournament. It's been Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Back at it again next week. Colin Russo, Kid Chums, and ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.